Now let's bring in our friend, our pal, our buddy, Brendan Batchelor, Canucks play-by-play man, back in the saddle tonight, Batch.
Yeah, ready to roll. I'm very excited to be back. It's been a long 2 weeks sitting at home, although I've had fun doing the intermissions and post-game, which is a bit different for me, but very excited to be back on the call tonight, for sure.
So quarantining with Brendan Batchelor, like how many career seasons of FIFA 21 did you finish?
I actually was playing a lot of Chell. I feel like I've been hanging out with James Cebulski for 2 weeks, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, my condolences. Jeez.
Yeah. So I've been playing a lot of Chell, been watching a lot of sports, been doing not a whole lot other than that, taking care of the cat. So it's a much-needed return, let's put it that way.
Well, we're happy that you're back, and maybe you can be the Canucks slump buster. Maybe you can bring some good vibes, Batch.
You know what they say, change starts in the booth.
That's what I love to hear. It's been tough, you know, like as much as the Canucks have turned their game around a little bit, you know, Tuesday night after the first period wasn't very good at all. But I mean, it's just so much losses and there's a lot of finger pointing going around. It just feels like this team needs to have something good happen for it. I thought it happened with Bo Horvat's goal the other night, you know, scoring from that awkward angle on Mike Smith. Easiest goal he'll ever score, probably, but it just doesn't seem like they can carry momentum through an entire 60 minutes, no matter who the opponent is.
No, they're a very fragile group right now, I think, and people are aware of that, too. Like, you know, being on Canuck Twitter the other night, even though they're up 3-0 in the first period, everybody's going, okay, how are they going to find a way to blow it tonight? And, you know, at that point, a lot of it is tongue-in-cheek because I don't know if anybody really believes they're going to blow it, and yet they did. So, yeah, I mean, everything that finds a way to go wrong for them has, and not that I'm saying they've deserved a better fate. Certainly they didn't the other night with the way they played. But the biggest thing for me is they have to stop conceding timely goals, right? Like you give up a goal to make it 3-1, to let the Oilers back into the game before the intermission, and suddenly it's a 2-goal deficit, which isn't as comfortable as a 3-goal lead for you. And then, you know, you have a couple of untimely penalties that give Edmonton a power play, and even if they don't score, they create momentum. And these are the kind of small things in a game that add up to create big problems, and that's what the Canucks have on their hands right now with the record. They're the worst team in the NHL since February 1st, only 2 wins, going up against the best team in the NHL since January 30th in the Oilers, who are now 10-2. So it looks like a mismatch in that regard tonight, and they can't afford to let off the gas for even a second against this team, and they can't afford to, you know, take a shift off, take a badly timed penalty, because those are the things that are costing them right now, and they did the other night, and they will again if they don't correct them.
Well, the big news over the last 24 hours has been JT Miller. He's been kind of put in that third line role. We'll see how long he's actually playing in that role next to Sutter and Gaudette. But what do you want to see from JT in that role if that's where he plays?
Well, the interesting thing for me is I wonder if that line, if they go tonight, will be tasked with trying to shut down McDavid. Because Sutter is a guy that's had success against McDavid in the past. He's been good in the faceoff circle. And, you know, maybe Travis Green wants to give JT Miller a more defensive role and see if he can, you know, thrive by simplifying his game and by being given a task to try and shut down a top player on the other team, as opposed to maybe putting too much pressure on himself to provide offense, which, you know, in my mind is probably what's led to a lot of the mistakes that we've seen from him in terms of turning the puck over and trying to force plays. So if that's the case, I like the thinking behind it. And I wonder if the Canucks can have success with that. And then it frees up your skilled guys to try and get favorable matchups. And Nils Höglander can potentially give a spark to that line with Pettersson and Besser. Again, assuming that's what they actually go with tonight. So it's creative thinking. And, you know, if you're going to put Miller in that role where you want him to shut down McDavid, then you can sell it to him that it's not as much of a demotion as it might look when you just look at the face of things and look at the line rushes and say, oh, that's Miller down to the third line because he hasn't been doing well. and instead say to him, look, we're giving you a big defensive responsibility. We want you to make sure that McDavid isn't a big factor in the game tonight.
Brandon Batchelor, our guest. With JT, are we getting to a point where we feel as though his performance of last year was a career year, but something that is going to be very difficult for him to put up again as a Vancouver Canuck? Do you feel like last year was a bit of a mirage, as the pessimistic would say?
No, I don't. And I can understand why people would think that way based on how he's played this year. But, you know, he's a guy that built off the positive momentum of the team for himself as well. And so the team is going in the wrong direction this year. He is as well. So, you know, this has been a very tough stretch for the Canucks. He's admitted it's the toughest stretch he's ever had in his NHL career. He's going to learn from this. He's going to improve both in the way he plays and in the way he deals with this adversity emotionally. And certainly there's been a lot of criticism of the body language and the slamming of the sticks and the swearing. But, you know, as much as he's turned into a leader for this group, he's still a relatively young leader in the league. So I have faith that JT Miller can take this stretch, can learn from it, and can be a better player in the future. And, you know, if or when this team gets on a positive roll, and, you know, I'm not by any means suggesting that they'll get on a run and get back into the playoffs this year, but if they can get to a part of the season where they start playing better hockey and start feeling better about themselves, then it wouldn't surprise me at all if we see some semblance of the JT Miller of last year return. And I still believe he's that player. I still believe he can be that player. He might just be letting his emotions get the best of him a little bit too much right now.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Brendan Batchelor, and JT Miller is going to be moving down the lineup. We'll see if it's in a permanent role for this game or if it's in the shutdown role, but Hoglander gets a shot with Pettersson and Besser. When you look at that line, do you think there's staying power there with the way that Hoglander plays and how he'll jive or gel with those other two players?
Yeah, it's very different, but it kind of reminds me of the dynamic you had when Alex Burrows started with the Twins. And certainly Alex Burrows went on to be a great goal scorer, but Alex Burrows' job when he was put on that line was go get the puck and get it to Daniel and Henrik. And I'm not suggesting that that's all that Nils Hoglander can do, because certainly he's a very skilled player in his own right. We've seen that. But, you know, he's playing with two guys who are proven scorers in the league. And what we've liked from Nils Hoglander to this point is his ability to win puck battles, his, you know, tenacity in hounding pucks and sticking with battles. So that would be the message that I would send to the young man as he gets set to go on that line tonight, we assume, is your job is to go and recover the puck and get it to the guys that can put the puck in the net. And then, you know, he's a skilled offensive player in his own right, so he'll have the instincts to get to the right places on the ice to have chances for himself or to help that line create chances. But, you know, without JT Miller on that line, I think his primary goal should be puck recovery to help make sure that that line can keep the puck and sustain pressure in the offensive zone, and then he can worry about trying to help out with the offense.
Jace Haralick going to make his debut tonight?
Yeah, he might. Travis Green playing pretty coy this morning. Didn't want to tip his hand, as is usual. I know you guys always call him Travis Tightlips, and
yep.
It was the case again today. But I get a sneaking suspicion that Jace Haralick might go in. And if he does, I'm very interested to see what he can bring. I haven't watched him too closely since my days calling games back in the Western Hockey League, where he was a prolific scorer with the Brandon Wheat Kings. And certainly his role is going to be a lot different on this team. If he goes in, it'll likely be on the fourth line. But you know what? He could be a guy that brings some energy. And we've been talking about it a lot lately on the postgame shows with all the money that, you know, is being committed to the bottom six, that to get out of this situation you're in right now over the next few years, when some of the contracts to guys like Sutter and Erickson expire, you're going to need to find cheap options that can give you good minutes in the bottom six, like Tyler Motte has done. If Jace Haralick can come in and be anything close to what Tyler Motte has been, then that would be a win for the Canucks. So I'm excited to see what he brings tonight if he gets into the lineup.
Batch, all the best. Excited to hear you back on the broadcast tonight.
Yep, thanks, boys. Appreciate it.